Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Travels Radio. I'm Karen, and this is Brightson. We want to wish everybody a good evening. Sorry for the phone, the song. It ended sooner than expected. I accidentally lost audio. So anyway, hi, Brightson, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing fair this evening. Thank you. Looking forward to tonight's show.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be an interesting show this evening.
Yes, it will be.
We're going to be talking about the petroglyphs in California. They are currently trying to put a solar panel field over top of one. And this is very old petroglyph. It is, and it's not the regular type of petroglyph that you would see on the cave walls. This is actually on the earth itself. It's on the ground. And it's huge, absolutely huge. So it's been there several thousand years. I would have to look into the notes to find exactly what the estimated time or age of this is, but it's very old. It's several thousand years old.
Right.
So right now let's go ahead and try and bring our guest on. His name is Alfredo Figueroa. And he is in California. We attempted to call and had a little bit of issue with the phone earlier, so let's see if we can get him online with us.
Okay. We'll see if he comes on.
Yeah, hopefully he will.
Yeah.
Boom.
Hello, how are you?
Yes, okay, right here. Did you call right now?
I did call, and you're
no,
out
I
there.
No,
right?
Some other guy was, and who, and I tried to disconnect him, and I guess I lost you. Anyway, I'm here.
Okay. Well, Alfredo, this is Brightson. She is the co-host
Hi.
Of the show.
Hello. How you doing?
Oh, hello. It's very much of an honor to meet you, sir.
Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Well. Do you want to tell us a little bit about you and what's been going on?
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, my name is Alfredo A. Figueroa. I'm the Chimoé Tribal Monitor for the Sacred Sites.
Oh.
And we have an MOU with the BLM, Bureau of Land Management, to be guardians of the sacred sites. These sites are geoglyphs. Geoglyphs are designs on the ground.
Yes.
They're giants. They're big giants. And these, they represent a lot of images. And the main images that we are protesting against the solar power projects are the Cocopilli. Cocopilli is well known all over the United States and in Mexico.
Yes.
And Sisimit. So these are the twins. And these are right in the way of the largest solar power project projected in the world, 9,500 acres right next to Blythe, California, 10 miles from the Colorado River. And these sites are very well defined. We've known about these sites for years, and that's why I'm the tribal monitor. And yet the government refuses to acknowledge all of our complaints, despite the fact that we have taken the archaeologists from the BLM from Palm Springs, which is the office, the Palm Springs office of the government that oversees these sites, and the Yuma, Arizona office that also oversees these sites, and yet they have refused to acknowledge that these sites are there, or that they, as a matter of fact, they have made some statements that says these designs were built there in 1994, because that's when they saw them in the Google. Now, they have signs there, the BLM have signs there that, you know, pertaining to the 1906 Act pertaining to the protection of sacred sites. They have those signs there also, and yet they have not acknowledged our efforts to stop them. They are still going along with the whole process of trying to go ahead and totally ignore us. June the 15th, we had a big demonstration here when Ken Salazar, the Secretary of the Interior, came down here and met with Governor Brown, Jerry Brown from California, and they said that they saw gold here, and they were going to continue. And we made a big protest, and they didn't even allow us to go into the meeting with them so that we could sit down and talk. And they didn't want to talk with us. They totally ignored us. And if you see the video, we have a video. It's called Cocopiri Rescue. One of our members made the video, and it's real nice. And it's on the internet. And you can see where Governor Brown is so frustrated, and also Ken Salazar. As a matter of fact, Governor Brown, we used to know him real. I know him real good for a long, long time. I'm 77 years old, and you know, this is not the first time we've been involved in defending the sacred sites. We were the guys that defended when they were trying to build a big nuclear toxic dump here called Ward Valley, together with the Mojaves and other tribes along the Colorado River and the environmental movement. We were able to stop that nuclear dump from being built. Also, we were the people that stopped the first nuclear power plant from being built here on the Colorado River in the United States in 1957. So we have a little background of this, of protecting our sites here, because we know what they relate. We know how sacred they are to our tradition. But yet the government right now has done nothing to negotiate anything. As a matter of fact, we are in court right now. We're in federal court, 9th District Federal Court in Los Angeles. And so the date is going to be set pretty soon. We had the preliminary already July the 5th. So we need help from all the people that are concerned about our sacred sites, that we know that Ken Salazar, he brags and he's proud that he's a 12th descendant of Juan de Oñate. If you know a little bit about New Mexico history, you know that Juan de Oñate, the conquistador, was one of the most hated, is the most hated in New Mexico. So Ken Salazar brags about him. And so Juan de Oñate didn't destroy, Ken Salazar wants to destroy. So we want help. We need help from everybody here in the United States. And we're trying to also get the United Nations to participate with, because they have a resolution that was passed in 2007, Article 11, which it states about protection of sacred sites. As a matter of fact, Obama signed it December the 15th, 2010 already. The United States was the last country to sign it. All the countries in the world signed the protection of sacred sites except the United States until December the 15th, 2010. So that's where we're at right now. We're in a very crucial situation. We need help. That's why when they told me about your program, I was more than glad, and I'm happy to be here with you people.
Oh, thank you. I am shocked that this was the last country to sign that. And it, like everything else, when it comes to Native attempts, Native sacredness, the ancestors to whom we pray to, the areas of burial grounds that should be sacred and honored in every single aspect and way, we seem to always be the ones that have to put up the fight. And I am very, very traditional. My father raised me traditional Chiricahua Apache, and I am one that he taught me always to stand next to my people and take care of my people and myself, and it taught me the traditional ways growing up. And therefore, this is very, very, again, another burial ground, another ancient one who this site should never be touched, never.
Exactly. That's why we're pleading to the people to help us, you know, because the government just knows one thing, and that's how we can, you know, we got to just be tougher than them, because they have no consideration, despite the fact that they have all these laws, you know, the laws of Native American Sacred Sites places, the Native American Sacred Sites Act, the Sacred Land Protection Act, the Native American Sacred Sites Protection Act, the accommodations of sacred sites and federal land by Bill Clinton, Native Knife Graves Protection and Reparation Act, Archaeological Resource Protection Act, American Indian Religious Freedom Act, and it goes on and on and on.
They don't
enforce their own laws.
They don't honor them.
Exactly.
They don't honor them.
No, they don't. And I think even though with all those laws, it should be put into effect that it would be a Class A felony to touch those sites, along, you know, and them to have prison time for it. And that's anybody that goes in and attempts to destroy one of these locations, because that's not only it's someone's family, you know, it's their ancestors and it's their history, you know. It's of great importance, you know. It has a lot of meaning to it, and I just don't understand why people want to destroy it like that, and it's just wrong.
It's all about capitalism, and that's why Obama's campaign about the fast-track stimulus money, and these companies, the majority of these companies are from overseas. The company that's here in Blythe is called Solar Millennium, and they're from Germany, and they're not going to even consider us, you know. They just want to, they made a roadway, and it destroyed part of the sun. The sun geoglyph has been destroyed, and a true north geoglyph that was 50 feet long and 5 feet wide was already destroyed by the caterpillars. And now they want to just level 9,500 acres that will just destroy everything within, you know, well, 9,500 acres is a lot of land. It will be the biggest in the world if we allow them to continue destroying. That's why we're calling for help, and we're going to be having some campouts out here. We're going to have a big one August the 13th, which is August the 13th, the most sacred day of the year. A lot of my information and the majority of my research is based also on the Aztec Sunstone calendar, right here in the what we call Cradle of Aztlan, based on the codices.
Yes.
We can translate the codices. See, everybody in Mexico knows where they left from when they left from the Colorado River. They went south to Mexico. But here in the United States, we've never been taught none of this through that 500 years of brainwashing that we have had. But fortunately, some of us have been. My father was a Yaqui. He was a Yaqui from Sonora. That's why I have still that Yaqui attitude of being independent and not yielding to their demands here.
Yeah.
Can you tell everybody how old this is so that they can kind of grasp on the age to this location? And
we can just go based on the Aztec sunstone calendar. And the as a matter of fact, Boma Johnson, he's a member of our committee too. He's retired from the BLM from Yuma. That's why they wanted to retire him, because he was associated with us. And he says they claim that it's up to 10,000 years old. And the Athapascans from Alaska, they said when they left from Blythe, they recognized him, and they say that the last ice age. So who knows? I don't get involved in that. I can just tell you where they're at and what they mean to us. You know, that the carbon dating 14, we have never done that.
Right. And I watched the video.
Oh, you did? Good.
I did, and as it went over the Kokopelli, I was just in awe, because it's just so big.
It's so big. It's over 200 feet wide, 200 feet long, sorry.
Wow.
And Coco in Nahuatl, in Azteca language, means hurt. Coco Pili. And Pili means our Lord. Coco Pili. Our Lord is hurt. And that's why he's leaving. After 952 years, there's a son. And after five sons, it's an era. That's why we're going into now the era of Aquarius. And we're leaving the era of Pisces. And we can prove this here. All these images talk about this, and we know where they're at. So that's the good part of it. We're not just, there's to be a program here in Los Angeles called Dragnet, and Joe Friday, and he would say, just stick to the facts, ma'am.
Yeah.
So that's what they do. So that's what we try to do, to let the people know that we have the facts. That's why we're going to court. If we didn't have the facts, we wouldn't be going to court spending our money. Which I don't have. We don't have. Our group doesn't have any money. But fortunately, we have some associates in the environmental movement that are participating with us, and they have provided the finances.
That's
I
great.
That's great.
Well, tell us what we can do from where I live in Williamsburg, Virginia. I'm on the Eastern Seaboard. What can I do as an American Indian in this part, even though my father is not originally from Virginia? What can I do to help you here in Virginia?
Well, one of the what we need most is that to get tribes. See, that we know how the tribes are being bribed also. We need the tribal councils to come out in defense of our group here, which is a non-profit group. And we have Mojaves, we have Chimoweris, we have Quechanas in our group. But the tribes have not come out yet. So I don't know what they're waiting for, but we need more tribes, or we need the Chiricahuas to come on down to file suit, help us, join our suit that we have. Contact our attorneys, and this is what we can do, because we have a feeling that once we get more tribes involved with us, the councils, let the government of Obama know that we're not going to tolerate none of this. Despite all the, you know, that they've been saying they're going to give this, you know, the whole thing that they always done to try to bribe all the tribes with some little goodie or something, you know what I mean? And that's why it's important that we get tribes involved, because Coco Pili is, I think, the majority of the tribes, they recognize him.
Well, the Coco Pili is so honored here.
Yes. Well, it's all over the Southwest, and you
yes.
say it's in Virginia, too. That's
yes.
fine. That's,
my ribbon dress, my father had my ribbon dress and my buckskin regalia imprinted with the Coco Pili.
Is that right? Good for you.
Yes, all over with my ribbon dress is completely full with the ribbons and everything, and he had it made with the cocobilas, and that's what I wear when I'm doing my
program. Oh, good. Congratulations.
Program.
That's wonderful.
That's wonderful.
So that's what we need. We need more help, but from the tribe, so they can put more pressure, because they apply more pressure when you have a tribal council, you know, coming out in your defense. We have the Native American Heritage Commission from California over here, that they're in full support of us, but they're a state agency also, you know what I mean? And they don't come out too loud and clear, or they're not going to be at a mass demonstration like we've been having, you know, because the state agencies and the EPAs and this and that from the tribes and all that, they know that they're doing wrong, the government's doing wrong, but they work for the government, and we don't work for the government.
Right.
We work for the people.
Is there websites that people can go to help?
I don't have it right here. We don't have a website, but we have people that have been in constant assisting us. And I got your emails. I'll send it to you. I got your email here of the green eyed lady, and 355 @yahoo.com. And I'll send you that information. See, like I said,
okay.
I'm 77, and I'm not a computer man. I can just tell you some of the cosmic traditions and how in the cosmos they are related down here with us.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, would you care to tell everybody how that does relate to the Kokopili and how it intertwines with the culture, you know, and beliefs?
Well, definitely, because, see, these are the twins. The Kokopili represents humans as they are right now, and we are hurt.
Yes.
And Sisimiut is the spirit, the great spirit. Sisimiut is the spirit of magnetic north that here in Blythe, it goes straight to Topak Mays. I don't know if you heard about Topak Mays. There's where our relations, the Mojaves, that's where the reservation is. And Topak Mays is where the spirits are. And the Kokopili is the twin, but of humans and all species here on Earth. So that's why there's always twins. And these twins are what you call in the cosmos the Gemini. And they descend here in a place called Tamuanchan. And the last time they did it, it was when the lining up of the planets was in May the 15th. Write this down, May the 15th, because don't say that I did. Right, May the 15th, 2002, it descended. Now, a lot of our people, they say it forms like an hourglass. You know, the hourglass, you've probably seen these on petroglyphs. Over here, I know that over here by the Chiricahuas, you have these hourglass. Now, this hourglass is Tamuanchan, where the cosmos descend and merges with Mother Earth.
Yes.
Tata. I'm a Tata. I have 21 great-grandchildren and 28 great-great-grandchildren.
Wow.
So that's why Tata. Tata, and now it means grandfather. So
that's
and
right.
Nana means the grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Tamuan means meeting or merging. Tamuanchan. Chan means chante, means house. And the cosmic meets the earth here in a mountain called Tamuanchan. And in English, they call it Granite Peak. But from our area, you can see when this event happened, we were all out here watching it because it was the lining up of the planets. And five planets, and the first planet that came was Mercury. So within Gemini, you have to we have to study more now the cosmos, because we have never studied that hardly. You know, just very few. I have the astronomy magazine and all that. So this all backs up what the Aztec Sunstone calendar has been telling us all this time.
Yes.
And I've been to Mexico. To Mexico City, and one of my big associates down there are the people that have studied the Aztec Sunstone calendar and Cuauhtémoc, Cuauhtemoc was the guy that said, for August the 13th, he's the guy that said, our sun has gone from our vision, but our sun will shine again. And it is. Because our ancestors used to study the cosmos like we go down to the hamburger place. They had to, that was part of the daily ritual to study the cosmos.
To study the cosmos,
yes.
Yes, and you know, I'm glad you said that because my son has been studying the ancients on the his computer, and what it is when the European people came here, they asked where we came from, and the us as American Indians, we told them we did not come from down here on Earth. We came from up there.
Exactly. You bet.
That's exactly what we told them. We came from up there. We were the fallen star people. We came
exactly.
from up there.
Exactly. That's why it's
He's
called Nam Wan Chan. So this is very important for us to know. But we in school, they don't teach none of this. Fortunately, some of our traditional people have still, like we say, they broke off our roots. I mean, they broke off our branches, which is the tree, and they broke off our trunk, but they have never broken off our roots. There's still some of us that continue with our roots, and this is what has helped us bring forth these facts that we are presenting now to stop for them destroying our sacred sites.
That's right.
I agree. I find it really fascinating that we were talking about the star people and everything. I know that the Mayan calendar, I've heard a lot of people talk about how once the calendar's over, that's going to be it, it's over with. But that's not how it's going to end. I think some don't realize that it's just the beginning of one era and going into another.
Yes, that's why there's five suns in each era. Five suns. So now we're going to start. There's no sixth sun. There's no seventh sun.
No,
it goes back to the first sun, but in this
first
different
sun.
Era. See,
right.
Now we're going to 2000. The last time, like I said, the last time that when the Mesitli descends. So that was when the lineup of the planets, which was May the 15th, 2002. And we saw it all. I had a group of people. We had a bunch of people looking at it, how it descended right there. Gemini and the line of the planets descended right there, and Jupiter was right on the top. And Mercury was the first one. That's why Mercury has his wings, because it's the first to come and bring the message.
Yes.
So we have all this here, and then we have the... You know, the most famous of the Intaglos are the Blythe Giant Intaglos, that we can tell the whole story of the creation story, how it started, and that's why these giant geoglyphs, they're just here in the area of the Colorado River. And we are in charge of them. We have been authorized to be the guardians, all the way from Needles, California, which is north of Blythe, down to Yuma, Arizona, which is south of Blythe. And we're in charge of them, but yet it's like we were just somebody that, I like to tell people, like the 600-pound gorilla that's in that advertisement. They don't pay attention to us.
Right.
No, they don't.
And this is the government of the United States, and it's archaeologists that have come to the area, and we've told them, and we showed them all this, how it relates. I showed them maps and yet, like if I was just talking to the wind. So we need a lot of help from the, if we can get beyond, we're having this big function August the 13th right here in Blythe. So if people want to come down and they want to know the truth, well, we can show them, and then they make their own opinions without, saying, well, this old man was just talking in the radio there or whatever, but no.
Oh no, no.
You compare with the images that we have here, with the codices and the cross reference. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be in court, you know, fighting these
cases.
That's right. Because I'm not going to go make a fool of ourselves. You know, they already always made fools of us. And go make a bigger fool of yourself. And, you know, we were strong supporters of Obama at one time. When in 2008. As a matter of fact, my nephew, his name is Cuauhtemoc. His name's Cuauhtemoc, and his name's Temoc. In the Spanish-speaking states, he was the coordinator for Obama. And and everybody was all excited, but what happened? You know, he turned a new leaf, like our governor.
Yeah.
Governor Jerry Brown, he's so far, you know, before, he was one of the guys that helped us more get organized and this and that, and especially with the United Farm Workers, you know, Cesar Chavez. And so he really pushed, and now he's totally against us, Jerry Brown.
90% of Native America voted Obama in.
You betcha. We sure did. You bet.
90% voted him in, and he being 1/4 Cherokee from his mother's side, he has.
Is that right? 1/4 Cherokee. Man, that's good, but it didn't do him too much good. He wants another term in there.
A second term, but he hasn't earned it.
He hasn't earned it, exactly.
No, he has not earned it. And he has let the Native people down when he made so many promises to us that he would make sure beyond anything else that the Native people were taken care of.
Exactly. Exactly.
When the conflict happened in Valero just recently, I called the White House, and I told the White House if he wants to be in a second term, he had better do something about the burial grounds out there, because 90% voted him in, and 90% can take him out.
You betcha. You bet. Exactly.
That's what I told them.
Mm-hmm.
I think, too, that they need to do, he needs to put a working law in order, not just something that's down on paper that are basically just a promise and then they don't uphold it and let these big companies go in and destroy these sites.
Exactly.
There's no sense in it.
Yes, look at who his main consultant is on the economic recovery, they say. It's that the head from the CEO from General Electric. General Electric was the one that had been fined so many times for violations of the EPAs and all that, and now that's his main consultant. Now, how could you have a consultant from the General Electric? Why didn't he get a consultant from, you know, one of the unions or something like that? No, he had to go to the extreme right.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's just, I think what they need to do, and this is my opinion, and there's probably others that probably think this way too, but I think that we need a whole brand new government, Congress, Senate, presidential, right on down the line, and start back over again fresh, you know, and maybe put people in there that would have the morals of what, have the right type of morals that would see to it that this stuff doesn't happen, see to it that these locations are not destroyed, the burial grounds are not destroyed. You know, and stand up and actually fight for the people instead of saying, okay, I'll agree with you, you know, if you do this or that, you know?
Right.
Right.
Well, so we have to become that, you know, they have always, they impose their religion, and I tell my relations, I says, we don't have a religion, we're cosmic traditionalists, and we don't have religion. Religion is they're nice, but it was organized for humans here, and cosmic tradition, we're tied in with the cosmos right then and there. See, one of the priests that wrote a book, his name is Acosta, Jesus Acosta, and he said they have to lie about this whole thing of the Bering Strait, because it would be bad for them. Because if everybody's supposed to be from over there from the Middle East, you know what I mean? And it's entirely the opposite.
It is. It's not. We didn't go across the Bering Strait.
Exactly. So that's what they always. That's why this priest himself, he confesses in his book. It's one of these old books. And, I've been doing this for 57 years. So I started getting this whole thing of the codices and all that. So we have a lot of information that we want to share with other people.
Right. And
if they don't want to understand, we're not going to force anybody until we, with the votes and with the lawsuits and with the picket lines and all this kind of stuff. That's how we've been able to win, like I said at first, when we stopped the nuclear power plant and the nuclear toxic dump. That nuclear toxic dump was right next to the river nearly, and all the aquifers were going to go into the river. They were just going to dump the nuclear rod from the power plants and all that just in the sand and just make a hole with a bulldozer and throw all that in the sand, and that was that was going to just seep down and get into the Colorado River.
Right.
So we were able to get Los Angeles and then California came out in our defense, but we worked 10 years to stop that.
Yeah.
But we finally stopped. That was a big victory for all of us.
Yeah.
Well, I think the one thing that they need to understand is the people are going to continue to stand against all this. They're going to voice their opinion and say no. You know, they can't. I think with some of these companies, it's come to the point that they think that it doesn't matter what anybody else says or how they feel or what they want. It doesn't matter about the fact that it's a sacred location like the Kokopili or the burial grounds. They don't care about that. To them, it's more about making that dollar.
Yeah, that dollar.
What
they
feel on top
right.
of it. It's all about that dollar. And,
exactly.
and it's maybe to them, but it's not to us. You
exactly.
know, they're important to us.
Very important. Well, that's why we're here. That's why humans were placed here. Humans were placed here to make that equilibrium. And we're supposed to do that, not destroy. And that's what is happening with the capitalist system right now. It's destroying all this.
That's right.
Right. And it's a pity. They need to think. I used to, a long time ago, and I really didn't take the time out to look around myself before because I was always in a hurry. But I went to Sedona, Arizona, for a while. And while I was out there, I learned how to really take the time to look, and I respect things around me. And I think that people should actually take the time out, if it's for 5 minutes out of the day, just kind of stand somewhere quietly or sit somewhere quietly and be outside and look around them.
Yep.
Because everything's beautiful. I mean, this earth is beautiful. We have
that's one of the things that that's why Jerry Brown and Ken Salazar says that they see gold here in the desert. The desert is beautiful for us, but they see gold. They see the entirely different. Biden, he just says about the desert turtle. He says, so what? They just had to get rid of all the turtles, so they wanted to, they cut the money off. The site was the desert tortoise, he says, we can save by just cutting off that program. They don't care, and right here north of Blythe, that's where you have Turtle Mountain. That's why we call it Turtle
that's
Island.
Right.
We call it Anahuac.
Turk. Right.
Anahuac. So Tepet Yolot, and in Mojave we say Capet, Avi Capet. So. And this, the vice president, he's saying, well, so what? What, the turtle doesn't mean nothing to us.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, boy, it's right there in his favor, June the 16th. June the 16th, look under Biden, Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
Yeah. This week, President Barack Obama and Vice President Joe Biden singled out a government web page, www.deserttortoise.government. devoted to be the protected reptile as an example of wasteful, here it is, wasteful government spending. I bet you didn't know that your tax dollar pays for a website dedicated to the desert turtle, Biden said in his statement. I'm sure it's a wonderful species, but we can't afford to have a standalone site devoted to every member of the animal kingdom. This kind of waste is unacceptable. Can you imagine this? I'm reading from the newspaper, quoting from the newspaper. And you can check it. Yeah, check it out. Check it out in Biden, what he said. This came out June the 16th.
I read that. Did you read that?
All of us all over the United States and the world should clamp down on that idiot. You know, when we were lobbying against the Ward Valley nuclear dump, nuclear toxic dump, we lobbied there in Washington, and I was at Biden's office. I knew the guy, and he came out really supporting us of stopping the dump. You know, and I thought the guy had more common sense, but he's got a bunch of marbles in his head.
Yep.
That's all he's got. When you make a statement like that against a turtle, let me tell you, you're really not there.
Yeah.
You see where your feelings are, and your, you know, to make a statement like that, you know, they think that we don't have no feelings, you know.
They have no idea that when we look at Mother Earth, we look at our standing brothers who watch over us all day and all night. We look at all the winged ones who fly above us and watch over us as we're walking or as we're driving. We have all our four-legged brothers and sisters that want to live in harmony next to us and with us without fear.
Exactly.
Without living without fear, without being killed, without being trapped, without being harmed, hurt, to know that they can come in someone's yard and sit down, that is the way that it should be. That's the way I have my yard. I have trees all in my yard, but I have raccoons. I have possums. Mm. I do. I have.
Oh, I can imagine.
I have the most sacred of all, the praying mantis, in my yard, and I pray with them. I rock and I pray with them while they're praying to the sun, and when they pray to the moon at night and open up their little arms, and my son and I stand with them and we pray. I have hummingbirds in the trees. I have all kinds of, I have a hawk that lives on top and birds. They all live in harmony. They all live together, squirrels. And that is the way they should be able to live, is without fear of being hurt or harmed. And in my yard, they have no fear. They have nothing but happiness, and they're silly and funny and happy and everything. And that's the way that I want to see it until I can see it no more.
Exactly.
I agree.
Congratulations. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
There was one thing while you were talking about that. It made me think about the horse roundups, the wild horse roundups. And I had seen a video where they had done this roundup and they chased this one mare. They isolated her from her herd and chased her to the point that she was exhausted. She collapsed. Now, they estimated this horse to be, I don't know, 15, 16 years old, maybe older. And because of the fear, now they did this with a helicopter, and they're doing this with helicopters now, and she died. This horse died because of the fear that she went through because of that, and it was the exhaustion from it, plus the wolf hunts. Now, there are people going up in helicopters to go on wolf hunts, and
yep,
they're shooting them from the air, and they're chasing them, and bad part, I mean, the whole thing is bad, but when they shoot these wolves, they don't die right away. They suffer. They will shoot them in the back, and that way it severs their spinal cord, their lower part of their bodies. They can't move, and then they come down, and then they shoot them. And they're in pain because they're biting at their backs. I've seen videos with this. And the government allows this. And
well, they still allow it. You know, for September the 1st is going to be dove season. Can you imagine? Well, one of my son-in-laws, he used to have a regalia of all these shotguns and all this to go dove hunting. And then my daughter told him, how would you like for that dove to have that shotgun and you be naked and in red and open space? He says, and you call the dove the peace bird? So, and man, that got to him. So he finally, he just sold all his guns and all. Because, you know, how can you be going and shooting doves for the sport of killing doves? And that's ridiculous, and people have to really understand, because that's not just us saying that. It's the majority of people that have conscience. They'll stop that. Now, if you were hungry, that's a different story. But you can always go down to McDonald's or any place and get a hamburger. But you don't have to go kill a dove just for the sport.
Right. I agree. I know years ago, I accidentally hit a deer. There was a deer that came across the road in front of my mother's vehicle, and I was driving it. I tried to avoid hitting this deer, but it didn't work. I ended up hitting her. But she didn't die right away, and I was so upset with it. My mother was upset with it. Once I pulled off the side of the road right after the collision happened, and she was over on an embankment across from the car, and I went over to her, and I sat there on my knees. It had broke her leg really bad, and she ended up bleeding to death internally. That was what happened. But and I know that she probably could have hurt me because she was still trying to get up. Instead, I sat and I cried. My mother was crying in the car, but I was telling her, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do this. You know, it was an accident. And I literally sat there and held this deer in my arms until she died. And I was just so upset with that because I can't stand the thoughts of hitting one with my vehicle, let alone going out and hunting one and knowing that, you know, I'm going to maybe shoot. I don't hunt. So they're just beautiful animals, and I don't understand how anybody can do that. I mean, especially for sport. I understand for food-wise, that's one thing. But for sport, I don't know. I don't understand it at all. I don't think there's any thrill in it. At least there wouldn't be for me.
Exactly. That's why I've never gone hunting in all my life. Because I never shot a gun because I don't know how. Yippee-yay-yo-kaye. So that's why I tell the people, you know what I mean? Well, that's just a joke, so you guys won't go to sleep on me.
No.
That's what I tell these people, you know? Because they right now, here in the city of Hawaii, they got big banners. Welcome, dove hunters, and welcome to... Man, it's so ridiculous. So they make us like we're oddballs, you know? But they're pretty soon they're learning. But it's taking a long time.
Yeah, it is. Probably too long. Way too long for them to learn. But, you know, I don't know. My mother was sitting over here, and she said that even if she hit, you know, and she's accidentally hit, you know, just a rabbit, you know, a little rabbit, but she'll cry. I pulled off the side of the road and cried over squirrels or rabbits. It doesn't matter what kind of animal it is. I'll sit and cry over it because I've hit it. And if there's one on the road that's already been hit and long past, you know, it bothers me. I hate seeing them there. I don't see how they can be just left there, you know. Mm-hmm. And I do everything I can to avoid it because I don't want to hit them a second time if I come upon them. And I have gotten upset because I have accidentally done that, you know, because I don't want to hit them. It's just... I don't know. I can't stand it. I just can't stand thoughts of it.
Well, that's why that group over there in India, they don't even kill the cucarachas, you know, the cockroaches, because they have as much right as we do to be on this earth.
Yeah.
Now, they can regulate them or something like that, but that's why they don't even, they respect the cucaracha That's why Cocopilli, if you saw the Cocopilli on that's down here, he the upper part of the body is like an insect, like a bee, and the bottom part of the body of Cocopilli is human. So it goes to show how a human and the bee, the insect, are related. And that's why I tell the majority of people, I said, now there's no better example than this image right here of Cocopilli, where the top part is like an insect and the bottom part is human.
Right.
So we are all interrelated.
Yes. Very much so. That's why we say Matakiyasan, all my relations.
Oh, man. How do you say it again?
Matakiyasan, Matakiyasan, all my relations.
Uh-huh, Matakiyasan.
That's Sioux. We say that in Sioux in the Sweat Lodge.
Ah.
I've raised my son in the Sweat Lodge. I've been in the lodge many times. We say Matakiyasan at the end. That is the end of our prayer.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yes.
I was wondering if anybody wanted to get in contact with you about helping with the preservation of the Cocopilli, how would they get in contact with you?
Well, the same way, you know, that I got my email. My email is you know, you have it right there, Lacuna. Well, you know, well, it's Lacuna de Aslan. It's LACUNA DEAZ, like zebra, TLAN at AOL.com. Lacuna means the cradle. Cradle, right here in one of the mountains, they're right in front of the big eagle. There's the big, this is what we call Kuauli Wantli, eagle that ascends, ascending eagle. This is where the Thunderbird image comes from. And right there in the bottom, it's like a cradle. And one of the images, it comes out like his name is Chakmul. You've probably seen it in the Mayas over there. They have a guy that's sort of like leaning back, Chakmul. And that's the baby being born. And that's why in the Kuna is the cradle. That's why we say Cradle of Aslan. Aslan is the island that was destroyed here at the Colorado River Indian Tribes. There used to be a big island there, right in front of the Moon Mountains. So all this happens during the equinoxes, and we explain to the people there what's happening. And right there in this island that was destroyed by the agriculture, it used to be called Aslan, and they have hardly nothing grows on it. And there's still ruins of the old... like they used to have some pyramids, they're small pyramids, and most of them were out of adobe and some stones that they moved them to build the foundations there in Nuremberg, across the river here from Blythe. So all this we can let the people know how it was. So this is not something we're making up. It's here. So that's why we call it Kuna. Kuna means cradle in Spanish.
Wow.
But we just didn't make the name. It's one of the codices. The codices is Acatitlan. So you send me your home address, or not a home address, anyway, an address, so I can send you this information, and I can send it to you by mail, both of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
oh,
you can have it,
wonderful.
And you can understand more of what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Because, you know, we've never been talked about here about Aslan. If it hadn't been that I'd gone to Mexico and a long time ago, I would have never known on this other also. But now I do, and that's why for a long time we used to keep it kind of hush-hush. But now we can't, because these people have no respect whatsoever, so we just got to let the people know, you know, what had been... we had kept it a secret for a long time. But now we can't keep it a secret because otherwise, so what? So you keep it a secret and then nobody will know and they're still going to destroy it? So we got to come out with it now. So just send me your address and I'll send both of you some of this information by the mail.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll send the addresses after the show's over to your email. It just, you know, to think about all this, and because we've been seeing quite a bit over the last, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks now, isn't it, right, son?
Yeah.
And it just amazes me at how, you know, it is disrespectful. It's not caring. It's very uncaring. And the video that you sent me from before, when I watched that, it was like no big deal to them.
No, to them? Are you kidding?
To destroy.
They could care nothing. And I knew the guy. I know the governor. I was one of the big supporters. We were, for a long time when he was the governor in California for two terms, Jerry Brown, and we were very close to his father, to Pat Brown. Pat Brown was, he was the governor then in the 60s. And so we were very deeply involved in. I was one of the founders also of the United Farm Workers with Cesar Chavez. And so that's why we were very involved with trying to promote, help for farm workers and native causes and all that. So, but now the guy just turned over a flip. Jerry Brown did.
And it basically comes down to the fact that there's money involved.
Money involved, exactly. And for Obama, it's a second term. he wants
Karen.
A second term. He don't want to be a one-termer.
Yeah, definitely one-termer. I'm not voting for him.
Are you
no.
kidding?
No.
One of my daughters said, "Wow, but who are we going to vote for?" Well, I says, "We'll go green or we'll go the Green Party. We'll find something." I said, "But not him. We know him already."
Yep.
And he didn't. He just, he was just. He came like we, like the Azteca said that when they were waiting for the return of Quetzalcoatl, and it was the blonde Quetzalcoatl that's coming. Well, he came, but it was Columbus came first, and then came Cortez. But Cortez was the blonde. He was the blonde. What? He was the blonde and the wolf in sheep's clothing. What we say, you know what I mean? And now here we come. We have Obama. He's coming from the West, but he came in the same way. You know, he was supposed to be the dark and the blonde. So what happened? He was also false.
Right.
So we were all happy, like you said, 90% of us were for it, and so, yeah, but it's going to be a different tune now.
Right.
The sooner that he gets this information, the better it is, so he can change his mind, so we don't have to go through all this.
Right now, I need to may I excuse myself shortly? I need to go to the restroom.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, and I'll call back in.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was very nice to meet you, and I will call back in. I just have to...
No, it's a quarter right.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So this young lady, she lives over there in Virginia, too?
She lives in Virginia, and I live in Kentucky.
Oh, she lives in Virginia. You live in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. And how did you know Bear down here in California?
Well, he happens to be on my friends list on Facebook.
Oh,
and
okay.
And that was how I got to talking to him.
Well, he's the guy who gave me your number.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he had originally, what had happened was when I seen he had made a post about the Glen Cove. And I asked him, I sent him a message, and I told him, I said that I would be willing to do a show, because I wanted to help. So he messaged me back, and then that's how we started talking, and we did the show for Glen Cove and Sigourney, and then he told me about you and the issue out there. over the Kokopili, and I said, most definitely, more than gladly do a show, because, you know, it needs to be out.
Oh, you betcha, that's good. So you're in the internet with all these people.
Yes.
So how many contacts do you think you have there that are hear us or that heard us?
Well, there's over 700 on Facebook, and then I'm also with the GTN network, and there's several thousand that come through that network to listen to the show weekly.
Oh, so good.
And I appreciate the fact that Richard Parnell streams this show so that we're able to reach that many people.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So I'm hoping that this is going to bring a lot of recognition and more help.
Well, you betcha, because like I said before, this is what we really need, because we're in deep trouble. Where the time is clicking, and we're the bad. Well, it's not bad, but we're far away from, not far away, but we're in the center from the, you know, we're 200 miles from Los Angeles. We're 150 miles from Phoenix, 200 miles south of Las Vegas. So from the big centers, we're a little distance.
Wow. Well, What made them decide? I mean, I'm curious about this. I know that it was open land, but had they looked at this piece of land for a long time to attempt to put those solar panels on, or was it just something that's happened in the last few months? Or
it was just something that happened the last few years. We didn't know that they were the government was considering these areas for solar panels, because they never contacted the tribe, and they're supposed to contact the tribes that are within this area and that are have ancestral backing here. That we're from the who knows how many thousands of years, and they never called us. The reason we found out was that I saw the newspaper, the local newspaper, it said that the California Energy Commission was going to have a public meeting concerning solar panel sites here in the Colorado River. And that's how I contacted our cultural director. And our cultural director, then she writes me a letter, and she that's when she named me as the sacred site monitor. And that's how we found out. Yeah, but they had now the companies, they had been looking at all this because, you know, they see gold in the southern southwest here because there's a lot of sun. Right now, today, it was close to 115. You know what I mean? A lot of sun. So that's why they...
Yeah.
Excuse me?
I was agreeing with you. That is a lot of sun.
That's why it's a lot of sun, because this is where Kokopili and all these people are at. These people have been projecting this for a long time, but they had not had any, public contacts, or not even contacted the tribes, which is one of their requisites, that they're supposed to contact the tribes. Like I was reading all that list of laws that we have, but they don't respect them.
No, they don't. And that was part of the agreement that they were to contact the tribes as well.
Definitely. As a matter of fact, they have in their own report that they called the cultural director, only no response because she wasn't there. So that's what they wrote down. No callback. A call and no callback, and that makes it you contacted the tribe. Hell no. But and plus, they have to go and meet with us, meet eyeball to eyeball. Tell us, okay, this is what we're proposing. What are your comments? How can we, figure out something? But no, none of that happened. None of that happened. So that's why we're suing, too. because they refuse to negotiate, or not negotiate, refuse to contact us. They didn't contact us, and now they have not proceeded with trying to. They just said, well, so you guys weren't there, so that's okay. We're going ahead.
Well, they definitely need to be sued because they violated.
Oh, well, that's why we got them now. Thanks to a group from San Francisco that's helping us with the financing to suing them. So we're in court. We're in court. And let me tell you, we're getting a lot of more support now. I get a lot of emails from people that I never heard from before, and they're saying that this is a gross violation. Definitely. See, now people are understanding more that just because they've been brought up in religion doesn't mean that our cosmic tradition, so that they're not going to respect it. They have to respect it because we're going to fight, like you said right now. You betcha we're going to fight. We didn't get off the Greyhound bus. That's one of my professors used to say. You guys didn't get off the Greyhound bus. We've been here, so we're going to continue to be here.
Exactly right. And it just amazes me how they do that stuff, though, that they put down, okay, we call, no contact, so it's okay, let's go do this anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We've got I'm trying to help another lady that is fighting for a burial mound in Alabama.
In Alabama?
And I found out some really interesting stuff about that. And there's violations there, so hopefully they'll be able to get that stopped. Because I did a show with her just this past week on it, and we're hoping that that'll draw enough attention to help get that stopped as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because they take advantage. I mean, they were
definitely. And if they see that you're weak and don't have a lot of associates, or you're not associated with, So they'll try anything. They'll try anything. And I've had so many bribes come from Sacramento. They think that we're one of the regulars where they can bribe us. And then once they find out, wait a minute, you're not just dealing with somebody that wants a fast cash. No. So then they know that wait a minute, we mean business. We want them out of here. And a lot of people say, why don't you negotiate? I says, how can you negotiate with Mother Earth? How can you negotiate and tell her, okay, we're going to destroy these sites, but we'll keep maintaining these other sites? No, all these sites are part of the whole pattern of how the creation story is right here through the geoglyphs. That's why there's just geoglyphs in the Colorado River. There's 50 miles, 100 miles, around 100 miles around the Colorado River. Here in the lower Colorado River, what we call from Las Vegas down south to the Gulf of California, there's where the only geoglyphs are. There's over 300 of them.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And this is the only place that they are. And then also there's some over there in you heard of the Nazca Lines down in South America? Nazca
uh-huh.
Lines, those big lines. Well, those are opposite. They're the lines, they represent the underworld. See, we can compare them how they relate to over here to us. But the Nazca lines are the underworld with Machu Picchu and Cusco. See, Cusco means the same thing as Mexico, means the center of the moon. Mexico and Cusco, but in Inca, and Mexico in Azteca, in Nahuatl language.
Oh, wow, I did not know that.
No, a lot of people don't know it, and that's why we're letting the people know, because the Southern Hemisphere is just as important as the Northern Hemisphere. The whole world is sacred.
And that's true, I agree. I learned something new every day, and I enjoy it.
Oh, no, we sure do. And I learn something new all the time, too, young lady. Don't think because and nobody knows it all. You know what I mean? That's ridiculous for these people, like, the guy over there in Rome, he's because he's got a staff, and he doesn't even know what the staff's for. The staff is communication with the cosmos, humans, and Mother Earth. That's what the staff's for. Not because you're the general of the army or the general of something. And these people, they like to assume that role. You know what I mean? Instead of why we have one of the geoglyphs here, it's called Mustam Ho for the Hokan families, you know, for the Mojaves, Quechanes, and Pai Pai, and Hualapai, Havasupai. It's called Mustam Ho, and we call it Tlaloc. Tlaloc represents the woman, represents the night, represents the womb. Represents. So he's right over here, and he has that staff. He has a staff. You can see him on the internet, too. His name is, they call it in English, Baus Fisherman. And they used to say because the Colorado River was close by, so the guy was fishing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous. And it has the two little fishes, and the two little fishes, you know what they represent? They represent Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
See, Pisces represents, the two little fishes represents Pisces. So that's where it's at, and it has the two little fishes right there. So these are thousands and thousands of years old, and they want to put a big solar panel project just 3 miles from that sacred site there. Here, that's across the Colorado River. That's in the Arizona side. We're right in the border. We're right in the border of California and Arizona. It's called Palo Verde Valley. And across the river, it's Ehrenberg and Courtside, and that's where they want to build these other projects. They want to build, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of solar panel projects that they've had, that they have projected if nobody complains. And if I'm glad that they're blocking the money right now. Some of the Republicans are blocking all these monies. They should block all these monies that are going to for these freebies, these giveaways that they want to hand out, because they're just freebies that they're giving to these companies.
Mm-hmm.
And loans, the Department of Energy, they're going to loan them this, loan them that, you know, and it's just so ridiculous, totally ridiculous, especially in this time of all these financial crises the United States is going through.
It is, I agree. It's very ridiculous. You know, they're constantly handing out money when that money could be dealt with here. You know, it needs
well, they're trying to take it away from us, from the senior citizens.
Yeah.
Let those old fogies, anyway, they have longer to go, so any assistance that we give them, that's fine. But let's give these companies stimulus monies so they can build these solar panels and destroy these sites. This way they won't have to cling to anything. They won't have anything to refer back to.
Oh wow, it's just crazy the stuff that they're doing anymore. It doesn't make sense anymore.
No, it doesn't make sense. It makes sense for them, dollar signs,
yeah.
Dollar cents, but not for the general public. And the general public of the United States, it's so blind. They're so, especially the Anglo-Saxons. I'm talking about. They don't want to see beyond their nose. Now, the environmentalists, that's a different story. But there's not that many environmentalists.
Right. You know, I saw something a while back. It's probably about 4, maybe 5 weeks ago or so. And I was reading, and I come across an article about a lady that had planted her own garden. And the neighborhood kids were coming and helping her with it because, you know, she was teaching them how to plant and grow vegetables. I believe it was their homeowners association, took her to court because they said it was illegal for her to grow a garden. And I could not believe that they had, you know, that they were actually going to try to do that. And I don't know what the outcome was of it, but I hope that she won in court. I really do.
Oh, that's good, sure. Well, everybody should have a garden. You know, in their house, in their yard. And it's all part of it. That's the way it used to be before, in the old days. You know, everybody had a garden.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody, but the majority of us.
Mhm. That's true. I remember my mom and my dad used to have one when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And then last summer, my mom kept a garden up until she had to deal with some health issues, has not been able to grow one the last couple of years, but she always had a garden. And it just shocked me that someone would take someone to court because they planted a garden in their own in their own
ridiculous.
Backyard.
It's
getting really, really bad with the stuff that they're doing to people. I mean, you just can't do, you know, you can't even do stuff on your own, you know, your own property anymore. But if you, and there was something that we were talking about a while back, you know, and they put prices on land and stuff, but in all reality, we may live on it. It might be our home, but it's not really ours. It never was ours. It, you know, it's here to take, you know, it's here to take care of us, and we live on it and thrive, but we shouldn't be destroying it.
Exactly. That's why we say, tloque nahuaque. It's like the fingers on the hand, you know, separate sizes, different shapes, but all together in the trunk of the human race. Now, we respect each other. That would be a big plus. That's why when Cortez came and Moctezuma says, tloque nahuaque, mi casa es tu casa, my house is your house. So he liked the house and he stayed on it. And he threw him out. He threw him to Zuma and killed him. But if we, because we have that kind of a, you know, hospitality, we want to participate, we want to help. And but the people from Europe, their only help was how they could get the gold. So that's what happened to Moctezuma. That's why we use the word loke nawake. That's what it means. Among all, we do all for the benefit of all.
I know in Arizona there's a, we mentioned Montezuma, and then there's Montezuma's castle, but from my understanding.
Yes,
my
understanding, well, I can understand, I can tell you the stories there. As a matter of fact, my wife was born right there in Clarksdale, right beside Montezuma's castle. Clarksdale, right beside the south of Sedona. They're 10 miles from Sedona, 15 miles from Sedona. She was born there.
Wow.
My wife. When they came to Blythe, that's when we, in 1954, we got married.
Oh, wow. Wow.
But so you came to Sedona, huh?
I did. We were out
there.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
Probably about 8 months or so.
Oh, wonderful.
My mother lived there longer than I did. She was probably a couple of years out there, but I loved it. Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
It.
Well, that's... That's why it's, and you, did you see, well, if you understood more, from here they went over there to Sedona, and you could see the dog there, but the dog there is red, and the dog that's here, it's dark, a dark dog, because it's all, you know, the red and the dark, and you didn't see the dog over there in Sedona? It's laying down?
No, I don't.
Like Snoopy? Snoopy?
Oh, yeah, I sure did.
Sure. So that's Snoopy, but the original Snoopy is here by north of Blythe, the original Snoopy. And then he moves, the dog is Cholot. The dog is the evening star of Venus. Venus is the morning star and the evening star. The morning star is what they call Ehecat, the wind. That's why Cocopilli, he has a flute, and that is the wind, because he's the wind spirit. And he has the flute, and that flute also is a straw for the pulque. And so it works for both things, for the sipping of the water and the playing of the music, of the wind. So he's the morning star and the evening star, and the evening star is the dog. He's the one that takes you through the underworld. That's why we call him Cholot. My dog here, that I have a dog here, is Cholot. But this is Nahuatl, you know, this is Nahuatl language, which is the Chimowiwi is Yuto Aztecan.
Wow.
Well, you
we
have a lot to learn.
Yes.
But it's all right. We're here to teach, and we're here to learn, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's
well,
why the dog is so important. That's why the dog is very important right there in Sedona. And there's a lot of images there, and I could take you there to the places and show you the images in the mountains and all that. It's very sacred to us. It's a very sacred area.
Oh, wow. You know, you can feel, you can just feel the energy.
Oh, you sure can. You sure can. You betcha. You betcha.
It's just such a different feeling. I mean, I can't explain. We would go out and we would go hiking out into the desert nearly every day.
That's good. You bet. Was it maybe in the fall? In the fall or winter?
It was in early spring, actually.
Oh, beautiful. Boy, that's the best time. You bet.
So we were there through about 8 months. It was
eight months.
What I like so much. Yeah. I was there about 8 months.
Did you ever go to Jerome, the mining town there, Jerome?
Yes.
Jerome, Arizona. You went to Jerome? That's where some of my sister-in-laws were born, that hospital there in Jerome. My father worked there in Jerome by 1923. He's on that museum, the Jerome Museum. They had a big photograph there, and my father was involved in that photograph. 1923, Jerome, Arizona. Oh, all these areas are very, because we're miners. Officially, we're miners. We're small miners. We just work, you know, we used to work on our own. And that's why we were able to go all up and down, because that's what developed this area was the mines. We started in 1862.
Oh,
well,
wow.
We started over there in up in California, by north of Sacramento. It's called Sonora, California, where the gold strikes. But our people were working their gold way back in the 1845 and all that, and my family was. And then they were ousted, you know, 1848, when the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, they threw everybody out. And so they came back down to the reservation. There was no reservation then until 1865, when the reservation was organized here in the Colorado River Indian Tribes.
Oh, wow.
So that's why we're miners, and the mines are the ones that open up a lot of these places.
Oh, wow. I know that I believe it was the silver mines that, it was silver mines there in Jerome.
Oh, yeah, it was copper.
Copper, okay.
Yeah.
I always get them confused. I can never remember which it is. I always think silver.
It was copper mines in Jerome. And Clarksdale was the town in the bottom. That's where they had the refinery. Where they used to mill the ore. For the copper to concentrate the copper, but that all that area is, man, you can see those sites. That's why they have Moctezuma Castle there, and all that, you know, and they have all these cliff dwellings all around the Verde River, and right there where my wife was born there, they have a Tutsigut, called the Tutsigut. It's like a little pyramid. And it's big ruins. It's called the Tutsigut, right there in the Verde Valley. So my wife's father and all that, they worked during the CC camps in the 30s, you know, uncovering all those ruins there. They call them the Sinawa people. But these are all the people that migrated from the area of the Palo Verde Valley and Parker Valleys, and they went to all these sites, and then they abandoned. It's called the Hohokan, the Hoho people that have left. Everybody in Mexico knows that they left to Mexico, but here in the United States they say, where did they go to? You know what I mean? Always making it a mystery. Everything's a mystery to make it more confusing.
Right.
That's why they call them the Hohokan, the people that left. And everybody, in Mexico, you ever go to Mexico, and you go to a grammar school, they're teaching it right there in the grammar school of when they left from the Colorado River.
Oh, wow. See, I'm like a sponge when it comes to listening and learning about the older, our older generation and our ancestors and stuff, because I find it so fascinating, and I'm constantly reading and wanting to learn more stuff. Bright Sun is actually back online with us, so you're on with us. You're not muted anymore, Bright Sun.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm
back.
Here. Thank you. Thank you for your patience.
Are you kidding? No, it's wonderful to be with you ladies here. Because,
you
know, we're learning a lot. And
yes.
And I hope we can get this message out to the rest of your contacts that you have, and maybe we can get some Chiricahuas. We get the descendants of Jeronimo over here.
Yes.
Come on down. We're ready for Jeronimo.
Oh, my. I would love to go back out to Fort Apache in San Carlos, where my father came from, and go and see the Chiricahua people again. I long to go out there and be able to walk among them and be able to sit and talk with the elders. That's where I learned from.
You bet.
Wow, he was telling me about Sedona and Jerome, and he was talking about some of the ruins out there.
Yes.
And I remember seeing those, and it just, I don't know, it just makes me feel really, really good, because I love Sedona. Sedona is where I want to go back to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all want to go to Sedona.
Yeah.
Wonderful. You bet. Sedona is nice.
Yeah.
You know, when I first went to Sedona, we went in. We went in at night, so I didn't see everything. Because my mother had come, and she had gotten, they had picked myself and my daughter up, and we drove back. And I didn't see anything until the next morning. But we had gone down the canyon to go into Sedona. And, oh, my gosh, I think that was, for me, it was frightening for me, because I wasn't expecting the type of curves that went down the canyon into Sedona. So I was kind of, I was scared. I was scared.
Well, you were going down from Flagstaff?
Yes.
Okay, that's kind of curves. Especially if you went down through the old road, through the old 89. No, the freeway is not bad, but the old road, the 89 road, that's really curvy.
Yeah.
It is. It's dangerous. It's going to be very
beautiful.
Dangerous. Lots of people had had accidents there. But, yeah, it's very beautiful, because I got up the next morning. We got back to their apartment, and everybody kind of, you know, we relaxed for a little bit, and then everybody went to bed and went to sleep. Got up the next morning, well, there was the big windows in the bedroom that my daughter and I had, and since I got up, first thing I did was went over and look out the window, because I just had to see. And I opened it up, and there's those big, old, huge, beautiful red rocks, and I was like, you know, and I was like, that was it. That's all it took. I mean, I was out the bedroom door, and I just wanted to see it all. And
wow.
It's just gorgeous. But you can feel the energy. It's got an energy unlike any other place that I've ever been to. Matter of fact, we lived where my mom and where her apartment was. The apartment building was owned by John Wayne. They used to have people come in, and it would be for his film crews and the people that were going to be in this movie. So back behind that apartment complex, you could see Lucille Ball's house. You know, it was the top of her house, but you could see that. And there's a lot of people. I mean, from what I understand, Sedona has grown quite a bit.
Oh, you bet it has.
I'm hoping to go back out there in the near future.
Well, when you go down there, be sure to come down here so I can show you these, the antagonists and all that.
You know, I will do that. I will absolutely do that, because I would love to be able to go and visit.
That's why we tell people, we don't want for you to just hear from an old fogey. You come down and yourself, you view this and you see the images in the mountains. You see how the geoglyphs tie into them. And then you see how all this is all tied in together. And that we don't make up stories.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I know you don't. I know that you speak the truth about, you know, the geoglyphs and the mountains and everything. And I'm looking forward to coming down to be able to see that. That is just going to be amazing.
And we invite anybody else that wants to come down so that they can come down also, and we'll be more than glad to take them
on
tours and let them know. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we're trying to do is raise money to put fences around all these sites, so then we can have tours, you know, professional tours, so that people can really appreciate them, but without having to go and destroy more of the sites, but with guides, you know, that we can train. So that's one of our main objectives, is to protect these sites, put fences around them, and that's why we're trying to raise money also.
I'm just kind of taken back. I'm in awe with
you
all.
You ask me questions right now, young ladies. Ask me questions, and I'll do the best I can to answer them.
Well, I have a question that's coming.
It's not going to cost you one penny right now. When all this comes out. So if I can answer it, I'll answer it.
My mother is over here asking if you had been to see the Devil's Bathtub and the Devil's Bridge. Was it the Devil's Bridge, I believe? That's in Sedona.
The Devil's what?
It's called the Devil's Bathtub.
The Devil's Bathtub. Let me tell my wife. Excuse me.
Okay.
The Devil's Bathtub. Karen, I'm so sorry.
No, she has never heard of it.
Well, in Sedona, as you go, I'm trying to think of where it's. I'm trying to think exactly how you get to it.
Now we she didn't live in Sedona. She lived in Jerome and Crackdale. Crackdale, south of Sedona.
Well, this place is right in Sedona. It's just right outside of this, right outside. And it's really beautiful. I mean, you have to walk down it, and it's shaped like a bathtub, but it's huge.
Oh, is that right? No, we haven't seen it.
Now, my favorite thing about Jerome is the old buildings up there. And
the
it's
old
just
buildings.
Great.
Oh yeah, well Jerome, and then that sliding jailhouse. And you saw the sliding jailhouse. It slid down around maybe a block down, and because you know the mines inside that they would cave in, and the top part would just bring them down. So that's why they call it the sliding jailhouse there in Jerome. And well, those mines they're perking up again. I don't know if they're going to start the mines up again or not. I really don't know.
Oh, that would be. I didn't know that they were possibly going to do that.
Oh,
I know
yeah,
that
well,
we
copper
went
down. You know what gold is right now? $1,648. It's never in the history of the world has gold been that high. Why?
Wow.
Because of the crisis that Wall Street's going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
anyway, we're getting off the subject. We want to talk about the sacred sites. Going into gold and Sedona is nice. That's a sacred site too. But here in the Colorado River, I would like to focus more on that. And if you have any questions pertaining to what I've been trying to explain to you, well, I would appreciate it if you ask me these questions.
Sure. And I'm sorry that we got off the subject.
No. It's a part of the campaign too, because we can just bog down in one subject. It's part of the surrounding areas, you know, despite the fact it's 3 hours from Blythe. And when we go, as a matter of fact, my wife is just there, 4th of July. She goes back to her old place there. She has a little house there, and so they go spend some time there in Crackdale in Jerome.
Oh. Well, I think that my question is Okay, I know on the email that you sent me that you had spoke about.
I'm gonna send you a lot of stuff if you just send me your regular address, both of you.
Okay. All right, I'll definitely get that to you. Can you give us some of the names of the people that they need to contact that need that push from the
public?
Well, our
thing has been. Yeah, the main one is Salazar, and Salazar has our video. Salazar has my nephew has gone to talk to him, and they're through their office. And our congressman here, his name is Raul Grijalva. He's the congressman right here from Yuma and Tucson, and he's gone and talked to him because he was the chairman of the Natural Resource Committee, and these people have contacted Salazar. We need to put more pressure on Salazar, more pressure on Obama, and here in California, with Jerry Brown, because there's a trio. So we got to, and then that McCain. As a matter of fact, McCain has a house right there in Sedona too, John McCain.
Yeah.
But that guy, man, he ran me out of his office one time in Washington. He has a short fuse. He's going to help us. But we need to contact these people and let them know, hey, wait a minute. These sites should not be destroyed to support their fast stimulus monies projects. That they made a mistake, and then let's go to some other place. We want them, and like they're doing it here in the University of Arizona, they're putting them on the rooftops of parking lots, they're putting on the rooftops of the gymnasiums, they're putting them on the rooftops. We want them on each house. We want a solar panel on each house. And we want some stimulus money from the government to help us. Right now, if you want to put a solar panel on your house, it costs you up to $20,000, something like that. That's ridiculous.
Wow.
So now, what we are saying, yes, put those solar panels in those abandoned air bases, army bases, and put them over there where they need them in the urban areas where they can put them on top of the warehouses and stuff like that. Not on pristine desert land and never on the sacred sites. We're not against solar panels, but we're against them destroying our sacred sites and we're destroying pristine desert.
You know, Karen, I was thinking of getting a hold of Blackhawk. He's not that far. He's right on the Arizona borderline right there at Hurricane.
Mhm. That would be a good idea.
Yes, it would. Blackhawk would get involved because he's deeply involved in the canyons where he lives right there at Hurricane Utah that's on the borderline of Arizona. And he would become involved. Have you ever heard of Black Hawk Walters?
Black Hawk. He's a Paiute? What is he?
Yes,
tribe
he lives close by Nino Reyes. Reyes?
No, I don't know that. You mean northern Arizona?
It would be southwestern
Utah.
Arizona.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Arizona and Utah
Arizona,
come right
Utah.
To the corner, and he lives on the side of the mountain. And if you step over his fence, you're in Arizona. If you step over
right?
the other side, you're in Utah.
No,
he lives in Hurricane, Utah, which is on the borderline of Arizona. But he's very well known out there.
Is that right? Well, I'd like to talk to him. You betcha.
Okay. I know he lives on 3 Rome Drive out there, but he had his phone number changed, and I'm gonna have to get his phone number from Swamp Rat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever heard of Swamp Rat.
The more people we got contact, the better it is, and especially
right.
these people that are close by. Why, that's better.
That's good. I'll work on getting in touch with.
Okay, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Because he's right out there.
Well, it's the upper part, because we're in the lower Colorado River Basin, and these other people of north of Las Vegas there. And it's
right.
The upper basin of the Colorado River, and this is the lower Colorado River basin, what they call down from Needles down to the Gulf of California.
Right. Well, I'll work on that. I'll make sure that I get Black Hawk involved.
Oh, that'd be good.
Right out there, yes.
That'd be good. We need all the help we can get. Like I said, you know, because these people are vicious. They're vicious. They have no. They don't touch their heart. There's nothing. They just want to go ahead. And while you saw the video, you see how just repugnant and they totally ignored us. They didn't allow us to go into the meeting with them, and they didn't even suggest, well, maybe we can get that group over and sit down. We can talk. No, not even that. And in our own hometown, we were not allowed to a public meeting. Just the people that came from outside of town, and they did all this polishing up. They just wined and dined them, but not the local people. And this is going to affect all of us. It's not going to affect those other people. It's going to affect us. And yet we were not allowed to participate. They had all the police, and they had all the Border Patrol, and they had, you know, the Desert Rangers and all that. And we were not allowed to go inside and talk with them.
Right.
Talking about Nazi Germany, you know what I mean? So nobody was arrested, but right here. And then they went to the college, the Palo Verde College, where we were the guys that helped build the college in those days. And yet we were not allowed to go in the college either.
Well, thank goodness that's changed as far as the colleges are concerned.
Oh, I think he's talking about the meeting with...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, I was talking about the meeting with Governor Brown and Kim Salazar.
Yes, yes.
They had it over here at the Palo Verde College. It's called Palo Verde Community College.
Okay.
And they didn't even allow us to go inside the meeting with there at the college. We were prevented from the groundbreaking, and we were prevented from going to the college where they had lunch, and they didn't offer us no lunch. We were out in the picket line in the sun. So that's the way it is. These people have no heart, no consideration for nothing. That's why we're asking for help from all over. So contact Obama, contact Ken Salazar, contact your congressman, contact your senator, federal senator, these people are the ones that are there, especially the National Resources Committee and all that. They have to do with the Department of Interior and all that. My nephew told Salazar, the secretary, says, I want to give you these videos, and I said, and then he told Salazar, I know all about your uncle. See, so what? You know, that attitude. And then my nephew contacts me. He says, that's what Salazar said about you. Well, so I says, well, at least he knows about us. So it's not going to say that he cannot say, well, I never heard of these people. I never heard that they were protesting the destruction of the sacred sites.
Well, the one good thing is I'm out here in Virginia, so I'm close to Washington, D.C. I'm only 2 hours from Washington, so I can either pick up the phone and call Washington and the state senate, and I've done that. I've done that on several occasions and left messages for President Obama when it came to the Valero protest.
Oh yeah, our group was. I belong to another group too called Green Action. And Green Action was one of the principal groups that were there. So that was a big victory. We were dealing there with the city council. And now here we're dealing with the United States government.
Okay.
And there's America. You got to remember, there's America. We're the most powerful country in the world. And over here was Vallejo. It was just the city council. But it drew a lot of support from all over. It was very good. It was it was very well attended. But you know, it took some time, around two months, something like that, more than 2 months.
Right.
Are you familiar with the Coeur d'Alene Indian Reservation out there in Idaho?
No, I'm not.
No, that's where my mother comes from. She comes from the Coeur d'Alene Indian Reservation out there.
Oh, for the Flatheads? What do you call them? The Flat?
No, the Coeur d'Alene. The Coeur d'Alene people.
No, I'm not.
From the Coeur d'Alene near Spokane?
Well, Spokane, in my honeymoon, I passed through there.
Yeah. 1954. Yeah.
No, I'm not familiar with it. None of those people over there. I'm with Chief Jackson over here at the Columbia River. They used to come down with us over here because they had a big dump right there by the Columbia River too, just in between Portland and another town there. Anyway, his name Mike Jackson. He was the chief there, and he would come down to meet with us over here. When we were during the Ward Valley campaign, they were very cooperative with us because they had the same situation that they had over there, and they contaminated part of that Columbia River there, part of their land there. So I've been involved with a lot of these other people, but not too much, just mostly here in the Southwest area here.
Right. Oh.
I'm hoping that this show tonight is going to bring a lot more attention to what's going on out there and also to Native issues in general, because there's so much that goes on that's not talked about that needs to be talked about, and this being one of them, because they just, you know, there's no morals. That's how I see it. There's no respect towards any of these ancient grounds. And that's something they need to be protected.
Yes.
I don't care if they're, because I know that some of the ancient burial grounds, the tribes themselves are no longer around, some of them. But even though that's the case, they still need to be protected. It still does not give anyone the right to go out and destroy these locations.
Right.
So for everybody that's out there that's listening tonight, please, you know, look this up online. You can find it. Find the people that he's been speaking about this evening, and contact them. Get their phone numbers. Get their addresses.
Yeah.
Send them emails. Send them letters. Make phone calls. Whatever it takes.
That's right.
So, you know, this has got. It has to be stopped. It's wrong.
Yeah.
We were in the National United States USA Today newspaper. We come out, it was Thursday, June the 2nd, and it came out, the site there, and my picture came out, and I got called from New York, where they said, hey, I saw your picture in New York. They come out in USA Today. So you can look it up at USA Today, Thursday, June the 2nd, 2011.
Uh-huh.
And it was real good. It's a story, the reporter's Keith Matheny, and it was a real nice article. Talks about us.
That's
and
good.
Our struggle that we have here, and how it's a nice article, and it shows the Bigfoot there, which is, you know, they call it Saskatchewan, the Bigfoot, and if the Bigfoot is right here, it's a big giant foot, it's a geoglyph, and that picture is right there in the newspaper article of USA Today, Thursday, June the 2nd.
Hey, Karen, I'm going to say goodnight for the night.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and nice talking to you.
Thank you. It was nice
and,
to have been able to share.
You're close by Washington, you said, so you're going to get my stuff,
yeah.
And then you just call the Washington, and I've been out there lobbying in Washington, so it's quite a deal.
I will.
Thank
it
you very much.
It was an honor. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
I will call you later, Karen.
Okay, I will talk to you later.
Okay.
Good evening.
You too.
All right, thank
bye-bye.
You.
Bye.
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 We are down to the last 10 minutes of the show.
Okay.
And I want to tell everybody that, you know, I want to say thank you to anybody and everybody that does come forward and try to help preserve this site. It's very important that it's preserved. These are ancient drawings that were done thousands of years ago, and they do need to be protected. That is all ancient sites. So please come forward and make those phone calls, send those letters, send those emails, and let them know how much you disagree with it. And we all appreciate that very much. Is there anything else that you would like to say before the end of the show?
Well, I'd just like to say that it's not just our responsibility. It's everybody's responsibility to make sure that these images are not destroyed. See, we are what we call he who has no name, and yet he has all the names. All of us are involved. But yet they'll say, well, those people are, it's their problem. No, it's not. It relates to all humans on earth. So that's why we say, Ipalme no wani. He who has no name but has all the names. We are all responsible, and this is a project that all of us should be concerned with, and we appreciate that the ones that are going to step forward and are stepping forward to doing this. So don't think that it's just our campaign. We are just in the midst of it, and we are here, and that's why we have they talk more about us, but it's everybody's responsibility.
Exactly. I agree 100%. It is. And what people have to think about too is if they're doing this now and they're taking these ancient sites and they're building over them and they're destroying them, you know, they're doing this to Native American sacred ground. If they do this, then what's next? Is it
exactly
your home, your family cemetery, your land? They take it because they want it. You know, how are you going to fight these big companies when it's one person? But if people come together and stand together and put their foot down together, you know, it can be won. It takes it a day at a time or a minute at a time, but it can be done.
And we have proven it, you know, time and time before. But there's so many people that the government, the big money, they bribe people. They use all kind of tactics to try to circumvent the struggle and all that. So that's some of the tactics that they always use against us, and even to divide us, the people from the council fighting the people from the traditionalists and this and that, when it's the concern of everybody.
Exactly. I just hope that this evening that it's able to be saved and they're stopped, because it's an important part of not only the Native American community, but it's an important part of our history, you know, because our children one day are going to be able to see these different ancient sites and learn the history behind them, learn where they came from, and what their meaning was to each one. So, and tonight you were telling me stuff that I wasn't aware of, because I didn't know that each one of these geoglyphs had a meaning behind it. I knew it was
definitely
something.
But they have always, I'm talking about the people for the government and all that, they have always said that this is, you know, this is, people had time, that's why they did petroglyphs. And everything was projected, because every day of the year is always included. That's why we have 365 cachinas, dolls, because there's 365 different days, you know, and each day has a different image. So we always have to be right there. And they always said, no, they're just making up these stories. No, life tells you this. But they don't want to hear this, because they are not educated with us, And that's why they did the whole thing when they did the Indian schools and the whole works, just to try to completely, just brainwash us so that we would not cling to our traditional cosmic culture.
I think that's bad that they've done that. I mean, I wasn't aware how the geoglyphs coincided with what we look at, like Gemini and Pisces. I didn't know that until
definitely.
And well, I'm fascinated by that. I mean, it just because it's so old, and it lets you know that these signs were there thousands of years before
Star
gave the name Pisces and so forth. So, that's where original astrology came from.
Exactly.
And so
we are the people, see, but they give credit to a guy named Galileo. See, Galileo was the first European to say that the Earth revolved around the Earth. And we knew that for thousands and thousands of years. And when they came over here, they also came over here and they said, well, number one starts with number one. They didn't even know about the zero or the decimal point. That's why we always say, no beginning and no ending. Because they're not. Now you look at all those astrology magazines, you'll see where now they are accepting all this, that there's no beginning, there's no ending. And we knew all that already. But they give credit to Galileo, a nice guy probably, but that he just barely 450 years ago, you know what I mean? And ours are thousands of years ago. But they never want to give us credit. Not even in these magazines they give credit to the natives. So
I think it's long overdue where that credit should be given. And it shows very clearly, and it's very obvious that, Galileo wasn't the one that discovered astrology. I mean, that's very clear.
Right. But yet they'll continue, and even some of our relations, they'll come and say these idiotic words like, well, Columbus did discover America. Well, how could anybody say that? That's so ridiculous, totally, utterly ridiculous, you know what I mean? And also some of the people, the doctors of the archaeology, doctors of anthropology, they'll use that terminology, discovered. I'm writing a book. My book, this my second edition of the book. It's called Ancient Footprints of the Colorado River, and it'll be out pretty soon in another month. And in my book, I never use the word discover, because how can you discover when it was already there? The word discover is totally absurd. It doesn't have any meaning, but it has meaning for them because they want to beat their chest and says, I discovered this. And that's all ridiculous. You'll hear about my book. It's called Ancient Footprints of the Colorado River.
Well, we'll definitely be looking for that. And once you get the release date, let me know and I'll...
Oh, definitely. I sure will.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. We're down to the last minute of the show, so I guess it's about time to conclude. And it's been great talking to you.
It's been great talking to you, ladies.
Thank you.
And I'm glad that you're very interested and you've got these programs going. So I was very honored to be on this program.
Oh, well, I'm very honored that you came on the program to talk. We appreciate it very much. I definitely want to talk more because I want to learn more because, like I said, you've told me so much stuff tonight that I've been in awe because I didn't know. So now I have lots of questions.
It's okay. You got my email, so just send them on down.
I will
give
do that.
Give me the questions. Okay.
All right.
Okie dokie.
Well, you have a great evening, and thank you.
Likewise.
All right.
We'll see you. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming on and listening to the show tonight. We appreciate it. And if there's anything that anybody can do to help preserve the geoglyphs in Blythe, California, contact the local public figures out there and voice your concern about it. and let them know that, you know, this can't be, you know, can't happen. But anyway, everybody have a great evening, and we will see you tomorrow. We have the show concerning Leonard Peltier, so please do tune in for that one, and everybody have a good evening. Good night.